So academic diversity as opposed to cultural diversity. Well, first, what I would say in both conversations, we do have to be aware of power dynamics, because particularly parents who have been to college, they work at a bureaucratic company, et cetera. Schools are inherently bureaucratic to some degree. And so there are some parents who are better at working the system because of their own experience. That, unfortunately, also correlates often with race and income, particularly in Massachusetts. So I think being aware, first of all, that there's power dynamics and how are we going to deal with that, and there's various ways. But in terms of the diversity of the kids, we use this word called differentiation, right? That says this child is very interested in snakes, this child doesn't like snakes at all, but is very interested in cranes and trucks, etc. How do we build curriculum around children having different interests? And maybe this child is reading a novel at the, as a young adult novel at age fourth grade, and this child is really still struggling with some phonics issues. So we have that type of diversity in our classrooms. What are we going to do with that? How can a teacher manage that? So one thing is, I think teachers really need planning time, and that can come from different places. But I think teachers need to be able to sit down and think about what are the needs of their individual students, and how do they create a classroom around those different needs, and how they create a lesson, et cetera, and what is that lesson going to look like? I think teachers are very rushed now, and they are the fastest thing to do is give everybody the same thing. But I think if they had more time to really be able to plan better, I think that would be really good for them. And I think students ought to have a variety of learning experiences, small group, individual, large group, field trips, et cetera. And all these different types of settings allow students to play different roles, to be at the top of the maybe they're playing a teaching role in one setting, and maybe they're playing a learner role in another setting. So I think all those are skills, but we want to make sure that no student is in one role all the time. And I think one question you have is whether students should go to another grade level, for example. Should a second grader go to the third grade for math? We have the Montessori program, which we have mixed grade classrooms, and that happens naturally. The kids are grouped probably by math ability, not by how old they are, which is pretty artificial grouping. So I think I would love to see more relaxation of our grade structure, or more flexibility in our grade structure, either having combined grades like we used to, or Montessori structures, or more times during the day. I think this happens in some schools already, where there are times when the grades are combined in some ways or reshuffled, lets everybody go to their math lesson no matter what configuration of children that is, but let's work on the type of math you're interested in or the type of math you're capable of doing, something like that.
Interesting. So you are in favor of more teacher playing time for differentiation, as well as leveling as opposed to tracking, where students interact with kids across different grade levels. How do you feel about uniformity versus diversity of schools? Can we just have this model where everybody picked a school that was appropriate for them, and innovation agenda then standardize them quite a bit, but we still have a Montessori program that works very well and immersion programs that seem to work very well?
My experience was both, because when my children entered in the 90s, the schools were highly differentiated, and there was a lot of socioeconomic self-sorting around parents with different expectations, et cetera, parents with different education levels, and I don't think that was good for the district. So I think to the extent that we've moved away from that to more standardization across schools, that's a positive thing, feeling like we're more of a district than just an assemblage of 12 elementary schools or whatever. I think we talked a little bit already about standardization of curriculum. Did we discuss that yet, about whether all schools are doing the same curriculum, or whether it's imposed or not?
Do you think curriculum should be imposed, or do you think curriculum should come from the teachers or the schools, or level do you think that those decisions should be made at?
I think, again, it's in conversation. I think the curriculum administration at Thorndike Street sometimes has good ideas. we tend to want to bash the administration. I don't think that's a healthy stance either. But they may be bringing in ideas from the state or from, other districts, so that we're not isolated in what we're doing here in Cambridge. So I think that there's can be a healthy conversation between what teachers and schools want to do and what the district wants schools to do. And I think as long as that conversation is happening, again, this takes time. If teachers feel like something is being imposed on them, they're not going to want to do it. They're not going to feel like learners themselves. We don't want to impose things on our students. You have to learn this. We want them to feel some ownership of the curriculum as learners. You asked me about the immersion programs. Did you want to ask me
sure.
about that? The problem with the special programs, Montessori and immersion in particular, is we have not been successful at attracting a heterogeneous population of families, particularly in terms of socioeconomic heterogeneity. And so I think we need to do a better job of talking about what these classrooms are trying to accomplish and the values of those for all students. And maybe we have to talk about changing their structure a little bit so that they're more attractive and more accessible for a wider range of students. So I think it's a very, very tricky question.
What have we tried there so far?
What have we tried?
To attract a broader range of students to immersion.
I know that some parents have taken been very invested in this and have on their own been sending flyers out, et cetera, et cetera. I don't know if that's mm-hmm. still happening, but I know a couple of years ago there were parents that got together and I went and met with them, and they were literally licking envelopes. I think the district, we have a communications person who is trying to write materials that's accessible. Perhaps we ought to be doing more in going out to community centers, et cetera, talking about this is what's available in our schools, and this is the difference, but this is why each one of them would be valuable to your student. So maybe if we just had more outreach, however, whatever that would look like, to the preschools, community centers, et cetera.
So what I think I'm hearing from you is that you support these programs to the extent that we can have them maintain diversity within the programs.
Yeah, I would say that I'm ambivalent about them.
Okay.
I'm a little bit ambivalent about some students, particularly around the immersion programs, having access to that incredible skill of becoming bilingual. And I think a lot of our kids are becoming fairly bilingual through the Chinese and Portuguese and Spanish immersion programs that we have. And I feel bad that other students aren't having that access. I think Milton is a full French immersion district. I should mm-hmm. check on that. But wouldn't that be great if every kid had that?
Interesting. So you'd be in favor of making the whole district immersion?
I think that would be excellent. I think we're not anywhere near that. And one of the steps towards that I've been advocating since before I was on the school committee is at least having world language instruction in all the schools, which we have in some of our schools now. I think the Peabody and the Morse are both teaching Spanish starting in fourth grade. Fletcher Maynard has Spanish. ML King has both types of programs. But we have some schools that have no world language exposure. And I think, or not exposure, they all have some kind of exposure. But I would like us to be able to figure out how to have all students from an early age having some kind of exposure to second language that's graded and building on skills, not just singing songs.
That's sort of the problem with world language programs. A lot mm-hmm. of teachers indicate that because students are coming in and out all the time, because mm-hmm. there's a summer learning gap, because it's just a couple of hours every week, mm-hmm. it's often just singing songs.
Yeah. Well, that's a perfect example of what we were talking about having some kind of grade age mixing. Mm-hmm. That this is a group of students, no matter what grade they're in, they're at level D because they've been studying it for 4 years. Here's a group of kids that are just starting. Mm-hmm. Some of them are 6 years old, some of them are 10 years old. You know, again, these are great ideas. The implementation is hard.
So that brings us back into academic diversity, and that sounds like a very workable model.
It sounds like it, doesn't it? As I say, the devil is in the details.